Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Welcome, everybody, to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I got so excited yesterday, I forgot what day it was. Had to go in. Anyway. So,
it's Friday.
This is covenant time. I do want to read this, Greg, before we get into this. We're right there in the book of Ephesians.
Yes, sir.
And we've read this over and over again in all of our covenant studies, that this is huge. Mm-hmm. Right there in...
Chapter 2?
Chapter 2, verse 11. Mm. Remember that you being in past times, in past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, Gentile in the flesh, what is Gentile? That's somebody who doesn't know God.
Yep.
It's not a Jewish term. It came out of there because, and particularly at the beginning, they really didn't know that a Gentile could actually be born again. This was 10 years after the day of Pentecost.
That's right, Acts chapter 10.
And then Peter had that enormous vision that changed his whole life.
Yes, sir.
And he went to Cornelius' house. Anyway, at that time, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, you were without the anointed one. You
That's
were
right.
without that anointing.
That's what, yep.
You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, strangers from the covenants, both of them, of promise, having no hope and being without God in the world.
Mm.
Christian people, born again, filled with the Spirit. But it's to them, it's a testament, the New Testament. The Old Testament, even though the word covenant is used interchangeably there, in and out, particularly in the Standard Version. Mm-hmm. But testament, they were trying to tell us something. This is the will and testament of God. That means it's His will to do all these
That's
things.
Right.
And
right.
it just went like this. But if you're a stranger from that, and you don't realize that when it says God's Word, it's not talking about a book. When it says God's Word, it's talking about His bond.
Yes, right.
Now, if somebody's talked about A.W. Copeland's bond, my dad, I don't think about a book.
No.
I think about the fact that my dad was brutally honest. I mean, I saw him cost himself millions of dollars just by the word, yes, he did, and all he got was to keep his job. I said, Daddy, how'd you do that? He's looked at me and said, it's a lie. And he turned around and walked off. He says, bond. This is His Word. It's in blood. It's His bond. He will do everything He said He'd do. And He is everything He said He
is. It's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
That very next verse says, but now in Christ Jesus, you're made nigh by the blood.
By the blood, there you are.
So there's
blood
that's covenant. What it's signed in. For He is our peace, who's made both one. It's made both one. What's he talking about, both one? Well, he makes analogies to husbands and wives. He makes analogies to the Gentile and Jew. We're now one in Him. And it's a beautiful typology. The Hebrew Scriptures, the alphabet itself, all of it speaks of... There's just so much meaning. The rabbis say it this way, that even the spaces between the letters speak of Him. I mean, they just have such a reverence for it. I love it so, Brother Copeland. the more I started to study, why'd you start to study? Well, I tried to convert for one thing, because trying to find myself. But I wanted, if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, I want to know what it'd been like to sit there.
Yes.
And so we've talked about this word hesed so many times, in, you know, mercy, loving kindness. Some people can say grace. If I could, I'll show you something.
Please.
This is the letter for that starts it. This is hey. This is where hesed comes from, this first letter. This is the modern version of it, the modern printing of what the letter looks like. It's two lines that are joined together. Now, the picture symbol for this is a door. It's a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So now let me show you what it looks like. There are eight Hebrew letters that are what they call crowned letters. This is what it looks like if you were to see this letter in the Torah scroll. And you can see that. Now, that looks a little different than the other one. But it's two letters.
Well, the other one looks like this.
It's solid across there.
And there, yeah.
But this one has the crown on it. It's a crowned letter. There are eight letters that are crowned letters in Hebrew. And then it has this funny little peak right here. Actually, this is two other letters that have been joined together. It's Vav and Zayin.
Well, like in English, have a double L or, mm-hmm. yeah. Or double P.
So they've been joined together, and it becomes hey. Yeah. Okay, this is where we get the word life, l'chaim. This is where you get the word chupa in a marriage, the covering,
yeah, the covering.
Of the marriage. So all of those words are doing this. So vav is a nail. We talked about that before when yod hey vav hey. Mm-hmm. And zayin is a sword. We talk about the sword of the spirit. So the nail and the sword joined together, they've been joined together and crowned. So it's one man joining to the crowned man that has the sword of the spirit, that has the spirit. So this little bridge right here is the yoke.
No.
And they've been yoked together. And this is where part of the word for marriage. They have been yoked together. See, I was one time a stranger without a covenant, but now I have been yoked to the covenant. God. Jesus will say, take my yoke upon you.
It's light.
It's light. This is the first word.
It's easy.
This is the letter for hesed.
Light.
It's from the word for hesed, mercy. My mercy is so easy. My loving kindness is so easy. Yoke this to you. This is who I am. This is the blessing. It's not hard. It's not grievous. There's no toil. We talked about it earlier in the week. There's no toil to this. This is who we are.
Now, you know what? I just had this mental picture. When I was a little boy, I wanted a Shetland pony because they were small.
Yes, sir.
I was little and I wanted one. Really bad I wanted one. I can see myself as a little pony. And there's Jesus, a Clydesdale, biggest horse in existence, and I'm yoked with him. He's pulling the load, and my feet are not even touching the ground. I'm just doing this, and I'm getting all the credit for doing it, and he's saying, come on, son, yoke up with me. I'll just carry you.
That's right.
I could just see.
Now, in the scriptures, there are very strong laws about yoking two animals that are not alike together because one will do more of the work than the other.
That's
one.
Right.
So now if this is talking about...
And an unbeliever with a believer.
There it is. If this is talking about that word for the chuppah for marriage, if this is talking about this, we're equal. You don't yoke up two that are not equal together. And this is why he says don't be unequally what?
Yoked.
With an unbeliever. That's light and darkness. And so this little thing, we're yoked together to the crowned one, where the spirit is. And it's a beautiful picture, but remember, it's a door. So in the rabbis, they'll teach it this way sometimes. You ready for this?
Yes.
Look at this. Putting the blood upon the doorpost of your heart. And this is the mercy of God. Do you remember the angel, the death angel, passed over them? By mercy, when you were inside. Once I enter that, because marriage is covenant, once I enter into that covenant relationship, the blood of the doorpost is on my life. Right. When I yoked myself to Jesus, the King, the death angel passes over me. I walk in the blessing of the Lord.
Right there.
We're
Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5.
And, of course, I've used this every time in a wedding that I perform. Mm-hmm. And you know, husbands love your wives and so forth. But look what he said in the 20th verse. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's the same thing that God and Adam said.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
So, and we're yoked together with him. And when Gloria and I were married on the 13th day of April, 1962, mm-hmm. and we came together, I just fell just hopeless, helplessly in love with her the first day I saw her. And it changed my entire life the day I met her. And that came to pass with me to where I was just trying to figure out some way to do something for her all the time. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into this, then I saw what God was doing that I didn't even know about at that time. That we didn't get born again until 6 months later. Well, we were just inseparable even before that, which is 58 years ago, soon be 59 years. Well, in just a few days, 59 years. And but then both of us realized that this came to pass with both of us. Mm-hmm. We supernaturally became one flesh. Mm-hmm. And we're supernaturally joined with Jesus. And as he is, so are we.
Yes, sir.
In this world.
The spirit realm recognizes this. And a classic example is Job. Job had, Lucifer had instructions when he went to the Father about Job. And Abba said to him, you can't kill him.
Don't you touch his life.
You can't kill him. You can't take his life. Now, everything else was fair game. He got his kids.
Well, his wife was reason for that.
But his, exactly. But she didn't die. And I always wondered, she was seemed to be the problem in some way. Well, but why didn't she die? Because they're one.
They're one. But see, people don't understand that book. You have to read that book very carefully. You can't read the book of Job with a Christian mindset. Mm. There wasn't but one sin mentioned in that book. Mm-hmm. And it was cursing God. Mm-hmm. That's the only, all the rest of the stuff he did, then he messed up and fouled up. But there was only one sin in that book. He will curse you to his face. You've blessed him, but he'll curse you to his face, to your face. And he wouldn't do it. He refused to do it. Mm. Now, in order for the devil to do anything, he's got to get it on your mind. Mm-hmm. You can't think of it. There's no way you're going to do it. So that got on his mind. He was afraid his children were going to curse God. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He wouldn't do it. She's the one that committed the sin and opened the door for the devil to kill those children.
That's right.
It took me a long time to see that. She did it. What the devil said Job would do, Job wouldn't do it. She did it. And she said it.
Because they're one and she has the authority to do it.
She had the authority to do it.
My goodness. That's a revelation. Right
and
there.
It was on his mind. He said, I can't, you know, he was, in other words, he said, I was worried, and trouble came anyway. Mm-hmm. Why? He kept making the same sacrifice over and 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 over. Instead of making one sacrifice, say, that's the end of that. You said it, and that's it. I'm not going any further. But he had a worried mind that he refused to curse God. Amen. Glory to God. That's what made him an example of faith.
Right. But even Lucifer recognized they're one. Yeah. And that's what's happened. We are, you've been married to Christ Jesus. You're one with him. And you start looking at this thing, the old covenant required a person to love God. I mean, it required it. In the
all your heart, all your soul.
Oh, I know it. In the new covenant, the focus is on God's love for you.
Yes, sir.
That he's loving me, even when I don't love him, even when I don't act like I love him, he still loves me. I can't ever be separated from that. In the Old Testament, I was required. It demanded obedience. In this new covenant, I have faith. Abraham operated by faith rather than obedience. Now, he obeyed because of his faith. Your faith will cause you to obey. It's a higher standard. When we operate by faith, we're operating by a higher standard.
Let's use the word trust.
Yes, sir, I like that.
It's the same thing.
Same word.
It's, I trust him. I trust him with my life. I trust him with my children. How did Jesus start that in the book of Mark in the 22nd verse? They said, that fig tree you cursed is dried up. Look at that thing. In less than 24 hours, that thing dried up to nothing. He didn't even refer to the tree. He said, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Trust him. That's the way Solomon put it. Mm-hmm. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Yeah. Trust him. Well, what am I going to do about my children? Trust God. Mm-hmm. Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do about my finances? Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. The Gloria and I learned that when we didn't have any finances. Mm-hmm. Just have faith in God. And little miracles began to happen. I wasn't in the Army all that long, but I was in there when there wasn't any war. It kind of irritated me. But you got to go to war. I didn't. But anyway, I was between wars. And there no GI Bill back then. None. Greg? Right before I went to Oral Roberts University, they reinstated the GI Bill I had enough to buy groceries.
There you go.
That would have been, $35, $40, but in 1967, that's money enough. Anyway, just little miracles. Why? We were trusting God. We were believing God. We had faith in God.
I've always been a person that questions. I question everything, and that's good.
I noticed that about it.
No, it's true. Brother Copeland, it's true. But I had the Lord get on to me now one time because I guess my questioning had moved over into unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can do that.
It can do that if you're not careful. He didn't mind you asking questions, but when it got over into unbelief, I can see it as clear as day. We were young pastors. My kids were out in the backyard playing on the swing set. It was my fault. I had made a mistake in our finances, and I didn't know what we were going to do. And Brother Copeland, I went in. I was laying on the floor, praying in tongues and crying and shut everybody. Don't bother me. I'm going to stay here. I was doing a Brother Hagin. I'm going to stay here till I get the answer. And if I have to stay here for a week, I'm going to stay on this floor. And the whole time I'm thinking, we got to feed these kids. What are we going to feed these kids? They're out playing in the yard. And I heard this, Greg, do you trust me? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Now I got to pray in the Spirit. Yeah. I heard it again, do you trust me? Yeah, Lord, I trust you now. I need to pray about this. See, I wasn't in faith at all. I heard it a third time, and finally, my mind finally clicked in. Hey, dummy, listen up. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Obviously, I don't, because you've asked me the third time. He said, trust requires unanswered questions.
That's good, man.
Because if you know the answer, you won't trust me. And so I've got this.
You wanted to walk by sight.
I wanted to walk by sight. I thought I was walking by faith, but I wasn't, Brother Copeland. I was not walking by faith. I was walking by sight. I was worried about what those kids are going to... They didn't care if they came in and had hot dogs and macaroni and cheese or folded over cheese sandwich. They didn't care. They knew they're out there. I was mad at them for having a good time.
That's good.
When I'm in here praying down heaven to provide for them, and they're out there having fun.
They trusted you.
That's what I got. They were trusting me. They had a care in the world of what they were going to eat and didn't even care what we were going to have. They knew that Mom and Dad would have food in there in just a minute when they're hungry.
One of the greatest Christmases we ever had. We had Chef Boyardee. Some of you don't even know about Chef.
Yeah.
No, not for Christmas, but please.
Yeah.
We had more fun. We still have a lot of fun, even though we have everything that we desire, more than enough. But before we open those presents, we pray. Now listen, you children know that Jesus is the reason we're here. He's the reason we even have any presents. He's the reason we have a true... That's a pagan holiday. Not anymore. We took it away from him. You understand?
Yeah, amen, amen.
Who are they anyway? And so, there's people need Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to change the reason for their tree. But it's the same celebration because he's the one. And now we have more than Chef Boyardee.
Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. The SpaghettiOs or whatever it is. So I in that situation with those kids that day, and this will bless somebody right here at Christmas time this month, that day I heard in my spirit, if you would act more like them where I'm concerned.
Oh, Greg, that's good.
You'd get what you want. You'd get everything you deserve.
You're bringing back things that I didn't remember. How much time ago? We'll just have a minute. I had... The first new airplane was just a little twin-engine Cessna. And I ordered it, and you know, by this time, man, there's no such thing as debt in this ministry or in our family. And I was short. I had believed it all in there, but something like, I don't know, $20,000 or whatever it was. No cell phones in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out in the middle of the lake. I'm just praying as hard and fast as I can. I got to have this money. I got to have this money. He said, will you shut up? Yes, sir. The same thing. He said, you prayed the whole thing in here, but that, can't you trust me for that a little bit?
Mm.
I wanted to jump overboard. I didn't, but we're out of time. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hey, Jeremy, come help us, son.
Thank you, Papa. You know, this has been a great week of learning about our covenant of blessing with God, and we can completely trust and rely and depend on that covenant. God's Word is His bond, and it is backed by the blood of Jesus. He'll do everything that He said He will do. But Jesus is that connector, and it's through His blood that we are yoked together with Him, and we're positioned as heirs according to the promise, and that puts us on the blessing side of life.
Wherever you are in the world, it's easier than ever before to connect with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and enjoy all of our online media, including content exclusive to our website. Visit us at kcm.org and gain access to over 50 years of Bible teaching from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland right at your fingertips. Watch live streaming video of the Believer's Voice of Victory Sunday and daily broadcasts. Enjoy live programs from the Victory Channel and experience special events on demand. Browse through hours of archived audio and video teaching and immerse yourself in the Word through the online devotional From Faith to Faith. Download the latest BVOV magazine, including our enhanced interactive version. This free monthly publication is filled with powerful tools for spiritual growth, articles by ministry leaders, testimonies from partners, and much more.
Watch the broadcast, read the magazine, designed, listen to me, to be a study center.
Every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I want to read to you again today from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And this is the scriptural foundation for our offering times on this broadcast. Verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now listen to verse 8. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You know, you could be watching anything right now. You could be watching something that just passes the time, something that just entertains you, but you made the choice to watch this broadcast and to set your attention on the Word of God and on the things of God. You know what that is? That's sowing to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit, what did we just read? You reap from the Spirit. You reap life and everything that pertains to life. And that's why it's so important when you hear word like you've heard today and all this week, it's so important to go before the Lord and say, "Father, Heavenly Father, how do I respond to this? How do I share with him who's taught me the word?" And that sharing, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit lead you, that sharing could have to do with standing in faith with this ministry about the spread of this uncompromised word of faith all over the world. Much of the time that response has to do with sowing in faith. You need to be hooked up with somebody somewhere who's preaching the gospel. And if the Lord has an assignment for you in this ministry with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, then get in it and get in it with faith, get in it with love, and sow your seed knowing that every seed reproduces after its own kind. And it's the partners of this ministry that are standing alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to make sure this uncompromised word of faith gets spread from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And partners, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love you. They appreciate you, praying for you every single day. In fact, prayer is involved at every point of contact that they have with their partners, whether it's through an email, a piece of mail that comes in or goes out, a phone call that comes into this ministry. When you sow into KCM, what you're doing is connecting with a ministry that specializes in using their faith. Tap into that anointing to operate in your own life, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that? Praise God. Listen, if you missed any of the broadcasts this week, you can always watch them for free on KCM.org or on KCM's Roku channel. And then next week, make plans again to join Kenneth Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens for part two of Your Covenant of Blessing. Thanks for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.